Whitney Allen here. We are backstage. It's a backstage broadcast, the 15 and the 30 tour. So happy to invite.
He's here already.
I think he invited us.
Oh, yeah. Chris Jansen.
So happy to have.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for finishing my sentence.
Me. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you so much for having me on, and welcome to the tour. It's really been a good one, and here we are on the West Coast this run, and we're celebrating top 20 for me this week, and so
I know.
It's a beautiful, beautiful blessing.
I got to tell you, first time we heard Fix a Drink, we actually called it as like one of the biggest songs in the summer.
Oh, thank you very much.
We really did.
Thank you very much.
We don't do that to all songs.
I totally believe you, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on mine. So
yeah, well, it wasn't much of a chance. It was very good.
Thank you.
However, I found out that one of your necessities on the tour is Mountain Dew.
It is, and so
this is not the kind of drink that I'm thinking when I'm thinking Fix a Drink.
I know. I'm that guy. I confuse people quite a bit. I'm a pretty eccentric bird, but you know, like, I can't fix a good enough martini than what I would want to drink for real, so I can't. I'm just not that. I'm not a bartender.
How is a martini supposed to taste?
I think not so strong. And you got to have, like, either pureed or muddled fruit in it, which is, like, the best way to do it.
Right.
Like, my wife likes peach martinis, so I drink those every now and again. But Mountain Dew is easy because, you know, but not easy for me. I like it in a can only. I don't like it any other way.
It's crisper that way.
No, it is. It is. And it's all part of the bottling. I know we're going to get all analytical here, but
no,
it's all part
I'm
of the bottling process.
I'm down with this because I'm a Diet Coke freak, and people are always trying to give me plastic bottles.
I can't drink it. Look, people will bring, a six-pack of Mountain Dew, and oh, graciously, they thank you, and then later I'll just give it all away because I literally, unless it's in a can, I'm weird like that. I don't drink it, but I don't know.
You
want to
hear weirder?
Yeah.
I can take it out of a plastic bottle.
Uh-huh.
I can pour it in a can.
And drink it.
Yep.
That's not weird.
You know, have you done it?
No, I have not.
Well, try it sometime.
I will.
Just saying, when the desperation hits
yep.
for that crispy Mountain Dew.
Yeah, you got to have that crispy
yeah.
in your hand.
Yes.
And the taste of it, too.
Try
yeah,
that.
I'm that guy. Okay, I will.
Okay, I feel much better than someone else like
oh,
me.
Oh, I'm a super eccentric person like
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
Like, I only like, certain flavors of Skittles. That kind of thing.
Really? Do you
yeah.
take them apart?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
And I like sour Skittles, but I don't like yellow ones.
Okay.
I know.
All right. Well, it's all right. I like the eccentric parts.
And when I'm in Los Angeles, I like to eat a lot of sushi.
That's okay. We all do, too.
I've had two plates of sushi already today.
Really?
And
where
I've
did you
got
get it?
Planned on a third one. So it's this place called Saru here in town, which I'd never even heard of, but it was really good. And then I've got a Katsuya reservation for myself later on.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Is that where you went?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a gazillion dollars a person.
No.
That is.
Is it really?
I think so.
Oh, gosh.
I'm
thinking Nobu. You're thinking Nobu.
It's like $500
yeah,
a person.
Nobu's more expensive.
Yeah,
Katsuya is medium.
It's like how you're eating it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I go there, and I got my certain dishes that I like. But, you know, I started my, you know, my career started in Nashville, but I got discovered for the first time. My first paycheck was with a publishing company. And out of LA. And so I started basically my real jaunt into the music business side of things in Los Angeles. So I was acclimated to that at a very young age, at 19. And I'd never eaten sushi before, and I'd never been on an airplane before, and all these kind of things. And so I've had a pretty wild story up until Fix a Drink, and even beyond. I know it's going to get even crazier. But I love the West Coast, and this is the best place to get that kind of food. So if you're a foodie like me, you know, you eat it when you're when in Rome, you chill with the Romans, and when you're in LA, you chill with Katsuya.
Yeah, well, don't say that because I brought them car pizza.
Oh, you that's okay,
I mean?
Too.
It was delicious, though.
There's a difference because you can't do car sushi. That's what I found out. Sushi doesn't travel, I don't think.
I don't think so.
No.
It doesn't go in an airport very good either.
No. Mm. And I think they will confiscate your wasabi and your soy if you
yeah,
make some.
It's too dangerous.
They,
oh, really?
Well, coming out of Nashville once, they confiscated our chess pie. And they always confiscate the yogurt that Jackie throws in my backpack before I go to the
chest pie.
I like
by,
to put the cans in her.
I stop by the Burger King and get them chest pies all the time.
No,
chest pie at Burger King?
Oh, yeah.
What,
no.
They do?
Oh, they
know.
Got chest pie, Hershey Sunday pie. They got it all.
No, we get the chest pie at Jack's.
Oh, yeah.
Nashville.
Well, there you go.
And Christian's mom.
Yeah, she.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His grandmother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Of course she does.
I know. Of course she does. All right. So, with you and this tour, how long is this tour on for?
There's a whole bunch of dates. I don't even honestly.
Is it the end of September?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
It is. So it ends like towards the end of September. It ends the week of. It ends actually the night of my album, the day that my album comes out, Everybody. On the 22nd, 23rd, we play two nights in Nashville, and they're already pre-sold out, which is awesome, but my record drops out on the 22nd, so the first day of the last 2 days of the tour. And yeah, it's been a long one, but it's been a really good one, an easy one, and you know, we do the best we can, trying to have a normal life outside of home, and you just make home on the road, basically.
You bring the wife and the kids, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The Mountain Dew. That's what I understand.
So
are your necessities.
You know, people always say to me, they say, man, your rider is so easy, because, you know, for people listening out there, they give all recording artists and people in the entertainment business all this, like, it's not so lavish as you think, but sometimes it's pretty cool, because you can literally make a list of stuff before the end of the day, and then they have people that will go out and get it for you, or whatever you want.
I still want that.
I know, I always wanted it too, but then I didn't know what to put on the list whenever I got it, so I was like, I'm just going to be myself, so I was like, a 12-pack of cans Mountain Dews, please,
mm-hmm.
preferably the old school cans, like the Black Ops can, those are my favorites.
Okay,
and then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they change the look, and it doesn't taste the same.
No, I got you.
At least my head doesn't think so.
I get you.
Yeah, and then I need like some Mike and Ike's Zowers, which are the cheapest candy pretty much you can get, and they're at Walgreens. You can get them for four for a dollar. And then so they're
these, I don't know. Somebody write that down.
I know.
I don't know about these.
Zowers by Mike and Ike's, and they're sick in a good way.
All right.
And so I get that, and that's pretty much all my rider says. And then, you know, people are like, they're always flabbergasted, like, this is really all you want? I'm like, yeah, for real. Maybe some baby arugula lettuce. You never even know. And
You're going to have a need for that?
When some Annie shiitake dressing. You never know
sure.
what you're going to do.
Sure. You never know. Okay, you're getting eccentric on me now.
I may or may not have some of that on the bus. Maybe two bottles. You never know.
But you never do.
But it's been really good, and the tour's been great. And that's how, you know, that along with my family on the road, that's how we keep it really normal. And then I'm a pilot too, so we fly home a lot, and that keeps it really
that's
nice.
That's not normal.
Well,
that's pretty badass.
Thank you very much.
It really is.
Thank you. When I get older, I want to look like Harrison Ford meets Chris Christopherson. So
don't be Harrison Ford, man. That guy's crashing.
He crashes too much.
Oh, he does?
He's down by us.
Well, I just want to look like him.
Yeah.
Other than that, like,
I wouldn't mind looking like him.
I'm gonna keep them flying skills up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But so we've been really blessed to be able to have a nice, you know, boundaries, and you create. You can never buy enough time home. I've always said that. And so when you gain success and you're growing this thing, man, you it affords you the luxury sometimes of being able to be home on certain days that most wouldn't be able to on the road. And
sure.
So we jet home as quick as we can and back on the road. And that's how we just kind of keep it all sane. And you know, it's good to have both.
I have a funny story. Watch for what you wish for. Years ago in Detroit, Jack and I were in Detroit, seeing Kenny Chesney show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 2-day thing, and he was doing a Friday night and a Saturday, or he was there Friday, and
yeah.
So we had like Miranda, and we had I can't remember. We had Miranda and somebody else, and we had Kenny the next day.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we're like, why don't we have Kenny tonight? We have everybody else. We go to the stadium the next day. It's the stadium in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So much traffic. We were literally at the Renaissance, which is like two blocks from that
stadium.
Yeah,
we went back.
And there was so much traffic. And then Kenny was late and was like, well, what the hell? And Kenny's like, y'all, I'm really sorry. I flew home yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And when I came in, I had to get in the car, and I realized I'm fighting traffic to my own show.
Oh, yeah.
To come and see you.
Oh.
So you can actually just adjust history with your flying there.
Oh,
that's what Kenny did.
No,
what I mean?
You 100% can, and I can totally attest to that. That is so true. I mean, because you're on your own schedule, so you start thinking, oh, I'm balling, like, I'm on my own schedule, I'm doing my own deal. And then you get in there, and you're like, oh, yeah. Plus a rental car.
Yeah.
And then, right? And then you're flying into these airports that don't generally have rental cars. And so then, you know.
Oh, yeah,
then
right.
You gotta, right, because you're in regionals. And then you gotta arrange a runner and all this kind of stuff. Like today, I was fighting traffic getting into my own show, actually, here at the Greek. I had a rental car out here. And we had a hotel for the last couple of days. We've been in Los Angeles for several days. I had lots of meetings and some television and things of that nature. And I had a rental car. But getting into this place is so weird driving in because, you know, like every security guard stops you, and then like I wrote on the window, and they had the little paper with my picture on it, and they're like, oh, never mind. Okay, good.
Really? We need papers with our
picture. We need our picture sets ahead of time,
Thank God they don't.
We dropped your name, and they were like, we don't know who you are.
Right, exactly.
Get out.
Don't even care.
Yeah, they didn't care.
Not especially in this Los Angeles venues, man, they're just so strict. And so I walked in yesterday, you know, first day of the tour, which is nobody knows anybody, and they could care less. You know, they see a million concerts a year, and so we come in here, and it never fails, man. It always gets to that one awkward moment with some security person backstage. They're like, no, I'm singing, it's cool. And they're like, no, for real, like, where's your pass? I'm like, no, legit, like, I never had one. But, you know, it's cool. I mean, you know, the good thing about it is, I mean, to be honest with you, getting on the radio has afforded me the luxury, and everyone on this tour, to, like, you know, you associate face value with a song, and so people are beginning to kind of, it's building, you know, is what I'm getting at, which I'm really grateful for. I mean, I remember times where it wasn't building, and back in the past, and, you know, it's like, you almost have to fight your darn way to the bar stage. It's just one of those things. But it's all growing pains, and they're all good growing pains.
Well, you know what? You've been working at this for a while, and it's really great to see this. Is
thank
this
you.
Looks like the like that catapult song.
I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Well,
and we're looking forward to the album.
Thank you. The album's called Everybody, by
right.
the way. It's for pre-order now on iTunes and everywhere you can buy music digitally and rah, rah, rah. But I hope everybody listening out there does go ahead and get it ahead of time. I'll tell you, like, I don't brag about my music, and I don't, and frankly, folks out there, I don't really listen to it that often, but this record I have listened to over and over because I really like it, and I'm enjoying all the songs, and I always try to go with an unbiased opinion, like, would I like it if it wasn't me?
Right.
And I think I would. I actually like this record. We really were picky and choosy about what songs we put on it. Of course, I wrote the whole thing, so, you know, I have a special bond with every song on the record. It's very true. And we titled it Everybody, the title track, which we'll be playing at the Greek, and we're playing all over the tour, because when someone asked me who I made the record for, what it was about, kind of give me the synopsis of it, I said, I wrote this record for everybody, just kind of casually, and that's kind of how it stuck. And literally, that's the truth, because this record is not pigeonholed one way or the other for one demographic of country music or one demographic of country music. It's literally for everyone. Pop listeners are loving this record, rock listeners are loving this record, and all kinds. There's a very diverse crowd in country music. Obviously, with this tour, you see me and Sam and Marin, we're totally polar opposite artists. And that's what makes this tour so awesome.
Well, we just haven't seen you in a pink wig yet.
I'm getting one.
Okay. All right. Are you getting it from Marin or Sam?
For me. Okay. And you guys burst my bubble there.
Sorry, man.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's cool. It's cool. I'm just going to make it blue this time. But the truth is, I wrote it for everybody, and I'm excited about it too. And it's doing very well, you know, right off the bat. And I think Fix a Drink was inevitably, no doubt, the best first single choice. And it was a team effort. And then, you know, when it goes on the chart, you never really know what's going to happen. But
right.
It's turned out to be my fastest rising single, even faster than Buy Me a Boat, which is totally crazy. And we landed in...
Which was another huge...
Thank you.
It was just a huge song.
Thank you very much. And we landed in Los Angeles, and we landed in the Upper West Coast this week. And as soon as we landed, found out we were top 20, and now we're already like up around 16 on
yeah.
the chart or something. And I'm just so grateful to the radio community, because all I ever wanted to be was on the radio. And so that's, I mean, like you talk about people making it, people telling these stories and stuff. Like, shoot, I woke up, I made it. Here we go.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you did it, man.
Thanks.
Thank you for weathering out the rough times, man.
You got to go through the rough times
yeah.
to see the beautiful times, but. I love my journey that I've been on, and I'll tell you, the one best thing about my whole journey and my career is that I've never struggled for anything in my whole life. I always just, if there was any kind of sort of roadblock mantra, I just would just go around it or knock it down or whatever, and that's kind of what I've always done. And I say it from stage every night too, and it's not like a set thing that I practice, but I just practice what I preach. And if simple acts of positivity go a long way, a smile goes a long way.
So true.
It's so true. And man, like, you know, gratefulness goes a long way. And it's not even, you know, you can take the classic word of humility and all that stuff, and you can remove it even. But just a simple smile and some good laughter, smiles, and positivity goes a long way. And that's what I try to do with this music. And I think it's translating with people. And I think that's why they're enjoying it. And I think that's why it's working at radio. And, you know, when I listen to the radio personally, I want to feel good. So that's... You know, that's what I try to do.
I can't remember now, and you have to excuse me if I have this fact wrong.
No problem.
Did you work close to the Ryman
oh,
for
yeah.
a while?
That's a precise fact. So I was discovered.
You were watching people
go into the Ryman
while you were like literally across the street.
Yes, ma'am.
How many years? Now I remember this story, and the story impressed me so much about
just
perseverance and knowing exactly what you want to do in life and not getting. Bitter that other people were doing it.
Oh, sure. Well, I can first tell you that anytime, and I think anybody out there listening would agree, that anytime you get bitter over anything, it just breeds more bitterness.
Sure.
And it just breeds, to my same point about being positive, it breeds more negativity. And believe me, negativity breeds faster than positivity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a scary road to go down. So to answer your question, though, when I moved to town, when I moved to Nashville 11 years ago, I moved from a small town. I had no credit card, no nothing, no money. I don't come from money. And I was sleeping in my car in the back seat, with laid down, so half in the trunk, half in the back seat kind of thing. Made a little pallet. It was awesome. And it's a true story. I started begging for gigs on Lower Broadway in Nashville. And I finally got up on stage in Tootsie's, which is a kind of a famous honky-tonk
right.
down there. But it's a real touristy kind of place, you know. And all of a sudden, I played Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison, but I played a real punk rock style, which, you know, my West Coast people would really, I think, love and adhere to. But I played it like that and got a gig. And from that day forward, I had a gig four shows a day. And I'm not even making this up. Four shows a day at 4 hours apiece for the next 364 days. And on the 365th or 6th day, I mean, it was right at a year, I was discovered for the first time. And Tootsie's butts right up to the Ryman. They have a front stage that butts up to Lower Broadway Street, and a backstage that butts up to the Alley of the Ryman. And yes, I used to see people going in the Ryman, Marty Stewart, and a lot of people, and just whoever was at the Opry, you know, and that kind of thing. And it was a gut-wrenching feeling, but I just knew that I certainly believe that perseverance, positivity can take you anywhere in the world, and I am living proof of it. So all I ever wanted to do, as I said earlier, was be on the radio, and the second thing I ever wanted to do was be on the Opry, and thus far I've been on the Opry more than any new artist in the history of the Opry that's not an active member, and I'm having hits on the radio, so thank you, Jesus, thank you, radio, and Opry.
Amen, my friend!
That's a true story.
I'm so glad that I wanted to ask you that story for so long, because I read it a couple of years ago, and I thought, man, I've got to talk, but it's been a year since I've read the story. I was like, oh my God, I certainly hope it's the right person.
No, it's true.
Amazing story.
Thank you. And I absolutely played out of a tip. I lived out of a tip jar for 1 year, solely out of a tip jar, out of a pickle jar. It was empty. It said tips on it. And that's how I made my living full time for a year. You know, a lot of people have the luxury of coming up with trust funds and credit cards and something to fall back on. Everybody these days has something to fall back on. And this is just a hobby to them. But this is like, I have nothing else to do.
Yeah, so I have no plan B.
No, literally, if I weren't doing this, I mean, I feel like God will bless me in some other way. He always has, but I'm telling you, I was born to do this. And so that's when you know you're born to do something, you have to give it your all no matter what. And that's kind of that's all I've ever known.
All right. Raise your hand to feel inspired, everybody.
Yeah.
Christianity, thank you so much.
I even feel inspired a little bit. I'm not going to lie.